Good morning. Scripture reading this morning is from Psalm 92, verses 12 through 15. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall bear fruits in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him.
Good morning. It's great to see everybody today, and especially I see some folks that are guests here today. We're so glad that you are here. Look forward to meeting some of you that I haven't been able to meet yet, but we're thankful you've come our way today to worship our Lord and Savior. It's great to be back after being gone a week. You didn't miss us. We were gone, but I know you missed Ellen. She was gone a bit longer. We got back in time. I did for the men's breakfast yesterday over at Chino. And appreciate all the guys who were able to go from here. It was a tremendous morning of a praise and worship and messages from God's Word. It was really good to be there. And looking forward to our evening tonight with our grads as well. But this was kind of a strange vacation for us because our daughter and son-in-law and grandkids had just moved to Woodward, Oklahoma. And it was pretty much a moving in vacation where it was unpacking boxes, putting up shelves on the wall, putting things together, doing yard work, cutting out dead branches out of trees, just kind of from morning till evening, doing projects around the house. And I thought, you know what I should have done is taken this next week off as a vacation week to kind of recover. Because, you know, you get to be my age, you get a little down in the back, you get a little bit tired, and it's just like, you know, you need a little bit of rest. And as if I weren't feeling a little older already just from the trip, we're coming through security in the airport on the way home. And I'm standing there I don't mess up in security. I don't want to get in trouble. So I'm taking my laptop out of my briefcase and I'm putting it in a little, you know, tub and everything and getting it all ready. And I'm standing in line getting ready to go through the metal detector, and across the room, not the lady who's checking the folks in my line, but across the airport, this lady looks over at me and she says, "Sir, are you 75 years old?" And I said, "No, I'm not, you know. If you're 75, there's nothing wrong with being 75. If you're 80, if you're 85 or 90, there's nothing wrong with that. But it's like, come on. Did you go to Rood school or something to figure that one out?" You know, and I said, "No." And I turned around and thought, I have no idea what this lady is talking about. And so I just go, you know, I'm putting the, and she said, "Sir, are you 75 years old?" And I said, "No, I am not 75 years old." And she said, "Well, you look like you knew what you were doing. But only people 75 years old and older can leave their shoes on. You'll have to take your shoes off." Thanks very much. Have a pleasant day, right? I had another thing with security. I'll tell you another time. But it's like, I'm already feeling old. That was just kind of a weird thing. But I'm here to tell you, for those of us who are older, you know, this is not a time to give up. This is not a time to quit. This is a time to keep going on, because really, you're never too old. You're really never too old to serve. You're never too old to be faithful to God. Look at some of these folks. Grandma Moses started painting when she was 76 years old and got her art put on display in the Museum of Modern Art at the age of 79. This is Gladys Burrell, who finished a marathon at the age of 92. John Glenn, going up into space at the age of 77. Colonel Sanders, at the age of 65, got his first Social Security check of $99 and decided he better go into business and started cooking chicken at the age of 65. Ronald Reagan went into politics at 55 and, as we all know, did not do very well. That was a joke. Christopher Plummer got an Oscar at the age of 82. And for us LOTR fans, Tolkien published the first volume of Lord of the Rings at the age of 62. One of my favorites is Oscar Swan, the oldest person to ever win an Olympic medal. You can see his little thingy there. This is I'm sorry. Isn't this just great? He just won an Olympic medal. He won the silver medal in the 1920 games at the age of 72. 100 meter dash? What do you think? The double shot running deer competition. So I'm not sure. I don't believe that one's still around. But anyway, Oscar won. Or no, he came in second. Silver medal, sorry. You know, a youngster probably beat him. And here is a fellow by the name of Moore Keat, bungee jumping off of the South African Western Cape, a 708-foot drop at the age of 96. And he was never seen again. I'm sure he bounced just fine. My personal favorite, however, is Dr. Lila Denmark. This woman is the oldest practicing pediatrician. She practiced as a doctor until she was 103 years old. Lived to be 114. Yeah, pretty amazing. You know, as we get older, we all know that are getting older, that, you know, you grapple with health issues and with various limitations. But still, folks who are older have so much to give and to share and to teach, especially believers, especially so. Think about folks in the Bible. You think these guys are old. Noah was 600 when he started building the ark. Now, that may be a bit unfair. This is before the flood, so they happened to live a little longer. But think about it. He just lived to 900, so he's two-thirds of the way through his life when God calls him to build the ark. On the other side of the flood, of course, Abraham and Sarah, 190 years old when the child of promise is born. Moses, the great prophet, leader, deliverer of Israel, Aaron, his brother, the high priest, the first high priest of Israel, are called into service at the ages of 80 and 83 when they begin serving and leading the children of Israel. Joshua led the children of Israel the last 30 years of his life, from the time he was 80 until he was 110. He was an apprentice into his 70s under Moses. Think about that. Think about taking kind of a late bloomer, I guess, but the greatest work of his life in those last 30 years. And Daniel, of course, is well known to have an extensive ministry spanning 70 years. In Daniel chapter 6, when he is conspired against and thrown into the lion's den because of his praying to God, when we do the math of the days from his captivity to this point, we realize Daniel is about 85 years old when he is thrown into the lion's den. It doesn't stop there. Zechariah and Elizabeth, we're told in Luke chapter 1, are both advanced in years when they parent and then raise John, the forerunner of Jesus. And at the temple in Luke chapter 2, when Joseph and Mary take Jesus to the temple, we meet Simeon and Anna, the prophetess, who were there. Simeon was told that he would not see death until he saw the Lord's Christ, which implies that he has gotten quite elderly at this point. And after he sees Jesus, he says, "Now I can depart in peace." Anna, we're told, is 84 years old. She's been devoted to prayer and fasting at the temple. And she recognizes that Jesus is the Redeemer and speaks to all who are willing about the redemption and the consolation of Israel. And finally, the Apostle Paul in Philemon 9 refers to himself as now an old man and prisoner of Jesus Christ. But of course, he is still teaching, he's still witnessing, he is still mentoring the next generation of faith. Some of these people actually began their years of ministry or service or their special calling in those later years. Others, and many others throughout Scripture, are simply faithful all the way through those years. And we have example after example, of course, people who continued to grow, continued to mature, continue to live faithful lives and to serve the Lord, to encourage, to mentor, to bless those who were coming along after them and to pass the faith along. Now, such incredible men and women of faith are not limited to those of the past. They're here. They're in this building. They've been among us. They are among us. There are some who are at home today because of physical infirmities who can't be with us, but we see them and we know them. Now, tonight, we continue a tradition. I'm not sure how long grad night tradition's been going on here, a long time. And it's a good one. It's good to honor the young people and to take note of the special moment in their life as they are transitioning from school. But it's also, I think, important every once in a while to stop and to be thankful and to give God thanks and glory for the older saints among us who have lived decades faithfully before us, who have modeled the faith to each of us. And today in our lesson, we want not only to encourage them and to speak our appreciation and love and respect to them, but also for those who are younger to consider the lives of those who walk before you and to model those and to follow those who follow the Lord Jesus Christ. We're blessed. I know it's hard to find a term. I'm just going to use the term senior saints. We're blessed in this congregation with people who are in their older years who are faithful and who are serving and who continue to serve. Now, I'll tell you what, you go to a work day around here, and it's just amazing when you go to one of our work days, because at our work parties here, there are people in their 60s and their 70s and their 80s. Sometimes even when we're out there working in that field, getting it ready, getting the sprinklers in, or projects that go around here at the building, it's amazing to me how so many of our older brothers and sisters in Christ are involved. When we go to our life groups on Sunday evening, not only in attendance at our life groups, but consider some of the facilitators of our groups and consider some of the hosts of our groups. And you will find people in their 70s and 80s and 90s who are serving in this ministry in one capacity or another. And that's so encouraging to those who are younger and who look to them as examples. You think about so many. It's almost impossible to think of something that goes on here that older brothers and sisters aren't involved in. They just simply are. Our ladies committee and all the wonderful things that they do for this church family. So many in that group are in their later years. The people who are taking meals to shut-ins. Those of you who go to the Supper Sisters or the Dinner Dudes fellowships, you look around the table and you see brothers and sisters of years, of people who've been serving the Lord for so many years. Our evangelism meetings on Wednesday nights where we're looking for ways to reach out into the community, there are people there, again, who are seniors in the faith, who have been serving God faithfully for years. Come to a MOPS day on Thursday, and you'll see again, over and over again, there it's several of our older sisters, those who many who retired, who are here, who are caring for the children, who are doing what they can. It just goes on and on. Bible school teachers and elders and deacons and folks who serve in a variety of ways. And have you noticed how so many of our older brothers and sisters look out for each other? How they'll stop by. One of them who can drive will stop by and pick up somebody who can't drive and bring them to worship with them. The way they visit and fellowship and support each other and demonstrate that kind of love and the faith that we have in Christ Jesus. One of the things that I find so remarkable about many older saints in this congregation is their commitment to be here. They're here. There's so many. I wonder sometimes, how in the world did you do it? How did you make it? There are so many who were older who were here. They're here for Bible class on Sunday morning. They're here early oftentimes, most of the time on Sunday mornings. They're here, they're visiting in our life groups on Sunday evenings. They're here Wednesday night for Bible class. They're just going to be here. I mean, if they can physically get out of their house and be somewhere, they will be here. I see that commitment, and it's an encouragement to me as I see it. I know younger folks have different challenges. I remember when we were young and we had four kids, and I remember what the week was like and how busy it was in our family and how much was going on and all the activities and all the things we were doing at church and how sometimes things could get difficult. But I think when we're younger, sometimes we don't appreciate what it takes for some people who are older just to be here. Just what they have to deal with, what they have to work through physically. Perhaps the pain that they're dealing with, or the effects of aging that they're going through at that time, or are issues that they face every time that they come to be with us. But they're here. We appreciate that. How many have devoted themselves to lives of praying for the church and for the people of God? How many prayer warriors do we have who are men and women of faith, who've devoted themselves to praying for the church and for the people of God. And where would the church be without our older saints who continue to provide that foundation of prayer and concern for the body of Christ? James says the prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. And we've seen the power of those prayers unleashed in our own lives. We think of the perseverance that we see among so many of our older brothers and sisters because of the things that they might be dealing with, illnesses and the effects of aging, both physical and mental, losses of those that are dear and near to them, a loss of a spouse. The way that change just seems to be multiplying in its intensity and speed in their later years and grappling with so many different issues. I've just heard so many people say, you know, old age isn't for wimps. It's not for sissies. It takes a strong person to grow older gracefully, to grow older faithfully, and to continue to put their trust in the Lord. And so many we have watched as they've dealt with chronic pain or debilitating illnesses and all of these issues that have been difficult, and yet they persevere by faith. And they do so with joy and in hope and in thanksgiving for what God has given them in their life and bear up under all sorts of inconveniences and pressures and frustrations with a grace that certainly comes to them from the Lord. I think of so many people today. You know, when you get to be older years, you have so many generations you look back on. I think of Nora Pitt that I've mentioned before, who was such a prayer warrior at the church in Petaluma. I think of Ralph Chase, who served as an elder into his 90s and was active and was involved as a shepherd of the flock into his 90s. I think of our own Doug Smith and the way Doug continued to serve all the days of his life, so many that have gone before us who have demonstrated that. Brothers and sisters who are a source of wisdom for us and a source of knowledge for us, who have read and studied the Bible for years, who have a rich variety of experience and understanding in the Word. There's some folks, some older folks, that when I'm teaching a Bible class and they raise their hands, I'm so thankful. Because I know they're going to say something that's so good. I know they're going to say something that's going to make everybody stop and think and learn something because they're sharing from their experience. And I think of sisters like Lula Rampe and brothers like Carl Hinman who have been that in my life in studying the Word and opening your mind up to different things and considering the Word. We have those who have been important to us, who have served in that capacity for us. And I thank God for those who continue to do that. I thank God for people like Bill Mansell, who mentored me when I was young. And I'm going to say it. I don't know if I could say it or not, but he's not here today. He's out of town. I thank God for Rod McPeak and for the relationship that I have with him and the help he's been to me because we're so very different. If you know me and you know Rod, you know we're very different. And yet Rod has some things that really have helped me and has shared with me that have been a blessing. And I like to think of it this way. If he were here, I would have said something like this. I like to hang around Rod because Rod's so old he thinks I'm young. That's what I would say if Rod were here. So you could pass that on. He thinks I'm young, so that's really good to be around him. But you know what I'm talking about? These are folks, and they're here. They're sitting among us. These are foundational to our church family. They support everything. They support everything as best they can. They support it with their attendance, with their involvement, with their contributions, and with their sacrifices, and some for decades and decades of faithfulness. And the church is so blessed. Some say, you know, we have too many old people. No, we don't have too many older people in the church. I wish we had another 100 or 200 older people in the church. We need some more younger people in the church. I'll say that for sure. We definitely need some younger folks. But boy, you take the older saints, the senior saints of this church, multiply their number here, and let's just reach out to the younger ones as well, because they are such a blessing to us. Our older brothers and sisters reflect the teaching of scriptures that Alan read to us a moment ago from Psalm 92 about bearing fruit in their old age. I love this psalm. It says, the righteous flourish like the palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon. They are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God. They still bear fruit in old age. They are ever full of sap and green to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. This line in the middle of it, they still bear fruit in old age. I apologize for this translation. Alan, yours was better. It said something about flourishing. This one says they're full of sap. And that, I don't want you to leave with that idea in your mind about older people are just full of sap. But I think there was a synonym for that in your translation. But this is the idea of getting older in faith and bearing fruit. Why are they bearing fruit according to this psalm? I'll tell you, because they are planted in the temple. Because these are trees that are planted in the sanctuary. These are people who put their lives down in their faith in God, in their relationship with God. And they are so rooted in faith and in their relationship and their walk with God that naturally their lives bear fruit, even into old age and especially. And their lives testify this. Their lives testify that God is my rock. God is my rock. God is the one who I depend on. There is nothing but uprightness in my God. The lives of our older brothers and sisters who live faithfully continue to declare that message. They have put their roots, the roots of their life down deep into their faith in God. And it produces this bountiful, flourishing fruit that blesses all of us who know them and blesses the church. They also pass along this faith to the following generations. Psalm 71:17, O God, from my youth you have taught me, and I still proclaim your wondrous deeds. So even to old age and gray hairs. Let me read it again. So even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to all those who come. That's what faithful older brothers and sisters do for us that are younger. They proclaim the might of God to us. They do so in their lives, in their words, in their ministry. And I think it's important to say this doesn't just happen because you get old. You can get old and not be very wise. You can get old and not be very faithful. This isn't just a matter of reaching a certain number of longevity. These are folks who have been devoted to the study of God's Word and to the obedience of that Word in their lives and have lived it out and served others in the Spirit of Christ. And they are those who pass along the faith that they have known to those who follow. It's important for younger generations. Wherever you are in these generations, somewhere younger or older in the middle, it's so important to learn from those that are older. To look to their faithfulness and their dedication. To listen to their wisdom. To learn from their experiences. From their years of ministry. To see the fruit of the Holy Spirit in their lives and take note of their perseverance. And there are some of us perhaps here today who are younger who perhaps should be convicted when we look at the faithfulness and the perseverance of those who are older. Because sometimes those of us who are younger, who don't have so many of the difficulties facing us that our older brothers and sisters do, can find a myriad of reasons and excuses not to be involved, not to be faithful, not to be there, not to be in attendance, not to be supportive of the body. But rather than to live with that sense of conviction, if that's true in your life, then change that. Turn from that. Make a determination to learn from your elders and to change the way that you're living and to follow in the example that you see. How can we not be encouraged and built up when we consider the faithfulness of our older brothers and sisters in Christ? A few weeks ago, I was at the sermon seminar at Austin Graduate School, and Stan Reed, who's the president of the school, was doing one of the presentations on 2 Timothy. And as he was talking, I can't remember now what he mentioned something, said, how many of you remember such and such? And, you know, us old guys put up our hands. And, of course, it was kind of appropriate because he's doing 2 Timothy, Paul the aged and young Timothy the evangelist. And he said, you know, some of you guys, as I look out, he said, some of you guys are at the beginning of your ministries. You're young. You're just starting. You know, you're excited. You're just getting in those early years. You're moving into your prime. He said, some of you. He said, if this were a 1600 meter race, you're in the last 200 or 300 meters. I took that pretty personally. I mean, not like I did the lady who said, are you 75 years old? But I thought, you know, I did some calculations and I don't know how long I got, but I thought, you know, he's right. And I looked around the room and I thought, he's right. There are a lot of us guys who are on the last lap. If it's a 4-lap race, we're definitely on the last lap, you know? And he said, finish well. Finish strong. That was one of the most helpful things I got all week. Not that there wasn't a whole lot more at that seminar, but for me personally, I thought, that's such an important reminder for those of us that are older. This is not a time to let go. This is time to grab hold. This isn't a time to back off. This is a time to push forward. Whatever our age, we may retire from our secular jobs, but we don't retire from service in the kingdom ever. And there may be things that physically keep us from doing what we once did or what we might like to do, but only death itself can stop us from our faithfulness to serving Jesus Christ and the cause of Jesus Christ on this earth until God calls us home. Until that day, let us finish well. Let us finish strong. I think that is the call for all of us who are maybe in the last four or the 400 meters of that race to stop and consider that and remember to keep on and to finish strong and to move forward and to develop greater faith and greater trust and more perseverance in our faithfulness before the Father. You know, you and I cannot stop the aging process. It's just going to keep going. But you know what? We can be renewed every day. Paul says it this way, so we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. There's renewal in the presence of the Lord. There's renewal if you put your roots down there in that sanctuary up before the temple and put your roots down into the life of God in Christ Jesus. There's renewal through prayer. There's a renewal as we come into the presence of God in our older years and meditate and hear the Word of God afresh and determine to finish well. There's renewal every day for the ministry that God calls us to complete. Just want to conclude today by pronouncing a blessing of Scripture upon our brothers and sisters who are older physically and have served the Lord faithfully. These are the words of God recorded by the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 46, verse 6. God says this to you, even to your old age, I am He. And to gray hairs, I will carry you. I have made, and I will bear. I will carry. I will save. We glorify God for the faithfulness of our brothers and sisters in Christ and encourage every one of us here today, regardless of our age, to be faithful to our covenant, to our Lord and Savior, in our service, in our lifestyle. And wherever you are, even if you're of an older age today, you're never too old. You're never too old to make things right with God. You're never too old to make changes in your life to be more faithful to God. We're never that old. It never happens. We always have the opportunity to draw closer to God and to commit ourselves to Him. And if you've never made that commitment in your life, if you've never made a commitment to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, to enter this life of faith that finds renewal and purpose every day, we invite you to come to Him, confess Him as the Son of the living God, turn from sin in your life, and be immersed into Jesus Christ, forgiven of your sins, raised to a new life, raised to a life of service and ministry and faithfulness, and follow the Lord Jesus every day, and follow the Lord Jesus until He takes you home. If you need to come to Him, please do. Let's stand and sing.